WRIF HD2 Detroit.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now on RIF 2.
Welcome to Nerd Radio on RIF 2, on your HD radio on RIF 2, 101.1 FM HD Radio 2, and on the podcast page, WRIF.com. Chuck Bean hanging out with you, and I would say in the studio, but we're not in the studio today. Mr. Jefferson Moore.
I was just going to say, that is the most technical intro I think I've ever heard. You said like every last minutia of what it's supposed to be about.
I'm trying to bring a professional element.
Because we are nothing if not professionals, obviously, if you've been listening at any length of time. That's the first word I would use to describe us.
What,
professional
nothing?
As oh. Hell. Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, we're here. It's another week in Nerd Radio. We got Kyle coming in. We're going to talk about BlizzCon because that was a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'll have Al back on a little bit later, and we'll talk some comic book stuff. Mr. Jefferson, when me and you typically get together, we talk about video game stuff as well as movies and other cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take a minute starting the show off to commemorate the passing of a game that I put a couple hours into. Enough, but a couple. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard about this. Marvel Heroes. Diablo with Marvel guys.
Yep.
It just hit the consoles like the PS4 and the Xbox One a couple of months ago. It was revealed a week or two ago on Twitter that they're losing the Marvel license as of January.
Yeah.
So they were going to have to shut the servers down at the end of the year. And people who were playing on the consoles who had spent a bunch of money to play specific characters were real angry about it.
Yeah.
And then to make matters worse, during the holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday, I think it was Gazillion is the company that would put the game out, laid off everyone.
Oh my gosh.
And then shut the servers down on Black Friday. So
kidding me? That's
they told us that the game was over, but it was over a lot faster than we expected.
Jeez, yeah. You can't even play it for the Christmas.
No. That's a little bit sad,
yeah.
That's a little bit of a bummer. Yeah. I played it back when it was on the PC, like when it first started. I spent a couple of bucks to get some, you know, like to get Rocket Raccoon and who else did I buy? I think I bought Cyclops, the X-Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust, yeah.
Another part of these games. It's funny because this leads into like a conversation I've had with Al multiple times about being an old fart when it comes to this like digital stuff.
Yeah,
and always
yeah.
thinking when you pay money for like Steam or iTunes or something like that, it's like, if they just shut the servers down one day, all that money is...
That's just going to feed to your fear right there, because they can just make it disappear just like that.
I'm convinced that's how the apocalypse is going to happen, is once they've got us all ingrained that everything is digital, then like one day it's all going to go away. You're going to wake up one morning and like iTunes, Netflix, Steam, it's all going to be gone. And you're just going to be like, all my stuff is gone. And that's gonna be it. That's going to be the downfall of society.
Even worse, but like... It's very hypothetical at this point, but what if humans eventually get to upload their consciousness to the interwebs and then someone shuts down
all
the
servers? And then they shut the servers down!
That's effectively killing everyone.
It's true.
But it's just turning down a server, so it's...
It's horrible.
I guess that would change the definition of all that kind of stuff anyway, but...
We're getting off to a dark start here.
We are.
On Nerd Radio. Mm-hmm. How have you been, Jefferson?
I've been pretty good.
How was your holiday?
I feel like one thing we need to talk about before we go into anything else also is Battlefront 2. And
that's
EA
been a thing.
And net neutrality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as much fun nerd stuff, but it's important nerd stuff.
Right.
You know, and we kind of have a platform here.
Well, get our listeners up to date for those that aren't on the Battlefront stuff.
Oh, Battlefront first. And then there's another Battlefront of internet.
There is.
That's fun, too.
There is.
But Battlefront, basically, EA is very well known for having microtransactions up the wazoo.
You just said it that way because they suck.
They absolutely do suck.
But yeah, lots of like kind of loot boxes, like, hey, if you spend X amount of money, you can have stuff early.
Yeah, and then, it was outrageous, like, with the original Battlefront 2 that came on the PS2, which, in my opinion, is, like, one of the perfect games out there.
Right.
Like, you could, if you were on enough of a killing streak, you could actually play as a Sith or a Jedi or something.
Right.
You could just have fun with that. And I think they had a little bit of that in the first of the rebooted by EA, where you got enough of a kill streak, you got to play as one of them.
Right.
They have not even close to the same thing in this
in
one.
In the new Battlefront game.
Whereas instead, you can unlock them just straight up for an obscene amount of credits that you can earn.
I was gonna say, can't you kind of grind up to it?
But like someone like did the math, it would take 40 hours of, or I think more than 40 hours of in-game grinding,
yeah,
to earn enough credits to actually be able to buy one of those
instead of paying like $30 or something.
Or you can pay it through the nose, and
right.
But this pissed off a bunch of people because you are paid $60 for a game,
yep,
brand new and all that. Shouldn't that entitle you to everything that the game has to offer?
And it's a good argument, but at the same time, like with the Battlefront is a lot like Overwatch or you know, Team Fortress or any of those games, mm-hmm, that is made almost specifically to be played online. I would say even Call of Duty to a degree. Like, Call of Duty has a single-player element, but really,
people get it from the multiplayer.
If you're buying Call of Duty, it's because you're going to go online,
yep,
and you're going to play it online. And I don't know, to some degree, I think, like, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
In that degree, like, I'm not buying Overwatch and then complaining about the fact that I can buy loot boxes.
But, right, yeah.
However, I do agree with the fact that when it comes to that whole free-to-play, pay-to-win,
mm-hmm,
mentality, it is a very delicate balance.
Definitely,
to figure out, like, what's the exact dollar amount we can charge that isn't exorbitant, but at the same time is making us some cash.
And unfortunately, I think that
EA
found out the hard way
way overboard.
It was not. And to their credit, they did notice that, like, because it was like, it blew up on Reddit first, I think.
Yeah. And then it was all over Twitter.
Storm, yeah. They took a huge publicity shot right there. But they did listen to a degree and they lowered the price a little bit. So now it only costs like 20 hours of in game
time.
So,
right. Which I've seen in other games that I've played before that were kind of like that.
Right.
Where like initially the, I think the Marvel Heroes game that, mm-hmm, we were just talking about, I think initially the grind in order to get a character was so exorbitant that they had to like cut it in half.
Yeah.
In order for us to be able to grind up to Captain America or, mm-hmm, whatever like that.
But there were a couple of friends of mine that are absolutely love the Star Wars series.
Sure.
And one of my best friends, Matt, like he, like literally put out like a thing on Facebook saying, "Hey, I know you guys know that I'm a big fan of this, but I'm not going to support it at all.
Yeah.
Not just if you want to get this for me, don't."
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like he was
telling
that
people like
about it. Yeah.
If this was your Christmas idea for me, don't bother.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was that much not into it, and
that's ultimately
that's serious too. If you distance yourself from your hardcore fans that much,
yeah. That's ultimately in the free market system. That's how you vote is
and
with
this
your dollar.
And this is after Battlefront 2 supposedly was going to make, like, the first game was not very well received at all. So DICE, who also produces the game,
right?
They actually appeared to have listened to them a little bit. Like a lot of the suggestions, they actually went ahead and tried to develop that. Now, whatever is possible is, you know, kind of up to, you know.
That's got to be a hard position for a developer like DICE. Like, not so much EA, because EA owns the rights to it. So like they're,
right,
for them, it's much like Activision and Call of Duty. Like they're just giving it to a studio and saying, "Hey, we want to do one of these. Make it for us. You know, here's X amount of dollars.
Yep.
Make it for us." But for for DICE, that's got to be really rough to be making the game.
Yeah.
And then
they say,
seeing that what you made kind of got distorted or just wasn't well received. Like that's, mm-hmm, got to be heartbreaking.
Yeah. And on the other side of the coin, like, you don't know how much they had to say with that. Like, did they negotiate with that?
Or
did they think it was okay to have those kind of microtransactions?
Did they give them one version of the game and EA said, "No, we want all these changes," kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's a couple of things. I mean, I guess if we looked it up a little bit more, we could have figured out, but
I don't know. See, it's the same thing like a week or two ago when we talked about the Justice League movie.
Mm-hmm.
I said that, like, I'd really love to see what the Zack Snyder edit of the Justice League movie was, as opposed to what we got. Because what we got is not bad, but it feels like a couple of different movies all at once. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to know how much of what I like was added, and how much of what I don't like was you know, added, and how much of what I like possibly was taken away.
And how much of that was could be attributed to specifically Zack Snyder.
Yeah, much or Joss Whedon, you know. And it's one of those things, like, I saw last week on I think it was on Reddit, that one of the guys who worked on the movie was like, there's no such thing as a Zack Snyder edit of that movie. Like, Zack Snyder left the movie at a point where the movie really wasn't done yet.
Okay.
And that's when they brought in Joss Whedon to finish the movie. There's not, like, a Zack Snyder edit, and then Joss Whedon came in and reshot a bunch of things, and it's a totally different movie. Like, not at all. Doesn't exist.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, oh, yeah,
because when people talk about, like, making a movie, like, there's a crap ton, like, a metric crap ton.
An actual physical crap ton.
Oh, absolutely. Of specifically pre-production before it goes in, even goes into production, and again, a lot of post-production too. Right. But people don't realize how much pre-production, like, that's like the majority of the time spent. Production is like the smallest amount.
Right, right. Like, well, yeah, because you spend all that time and money in pre-production so that when you get to the production, you can bulldoze right through it.
Right, exactly. Like, that's making schedules, shot lists, all that kind of stuff.
Here at Nerd Radio, the sausage is made a little bit differently. There is almost zero pre-production.
All production.
It is all production and then post-production. Yep. So.
Our pre-production is mostly like, hey, can you come in at this time?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I can do that. Just getting in touch with people and seeing what we can talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. Sitting down and going, what are we talking about? Okay, go. Yeah. And then hit record.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I have a list. I could call it the pre-production list.
That's the pre-production
list. But that's literally just what we want to talk about, and that's it.
Yeah, no research, no anything else.
And then we hardly ever talk about that, too. I did not have Battlefront or Net Neutrality. Or Net Neutrality. You know, welcome to Nerd Radio.
And before we break and go to a song, Net Neutrality is obviously a huge thing, too.
Yeah.
I can't believe this comes up every couple of months.
It does.
This Net Neutrality thing. Like, it's one of those things. I think it obviously comes up every couple of months because the companies that want to charge you extra for your internet
are fighting for that.
Yeah, like, they have the amount of money that they can keep putting it into the spotlight. Like, hey, let's vote for this again. Oh, it didn't work this time? Okay, three months from now, let's try again. Let's push it through again.
Yeah, and unfortunately, well, I don't want to get too political, but I mean, it's Trump's administration. He's repealing a lot of stuff that Obama did, and one of the things he did was net neutrality, and he pushed that a lot, and Trump's for the big companies, and guess what net neutrality favors? It's those big guys.
Oh, yeah. No, so. I saw somebody on Twitter say something along the lines of, like, Comcast tweeted something about, like, we will never, ever charge you extra for this or blah, 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 or whatever like that. And somebody's reply tweet is, like, just let us do it. We'll never do it. Just let us do it.
Yeah.
But we're never gonna. But just let us have the ability to. I was like, no. No, it's not. Once again, it's the free market capitalist system. Like,
and unfortunately, if, like, that goes through, we're kind of stuck with it. And even if Comcast made a promise to say, hey, we're not going to do that, can turn around and do it.
Yeah,
I mean, they're still going to get their money. And
the minute you have to pay extra to play Xbox Live games or stream Netflix, like, what are you going to do? Not pay it?
Yeah. And then throttling is really bad, too, because net neutrality is also about giving the bandwidth to whoever the hell they want.
Yeah, whoever pays
pays for it, yeah.
The highest. It's all money.
Yeah, exactly, which is really going to hurt the people that don't have it, of course.
Right.
So, so what can we do about net neutrality?
Well, apparently, from what I've seen, you can sign up for any number of different lists of people saying, we do not want net neutrality, and you can, you know, call your congressman, whatever like that.
Yeah.
And you can join the Communist Party, apparently. This is Communist Radio on Rift 2.
I guess so, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to be too political about it, but it's really important.
it is super important. And I would hope that if you're listening to Nerd Radio, it's an issue that is very near and dear to your heart, too. Mm-hmm. Because we're a podcast, man. We're online.
Yeah.
And, you know,
What if they decide they don't like us? And they're like, well, anyway, anyone who's trying to listen to Nerd Radio, let's lower their bandwidth to what? A bit per second.
A bit.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so. I remember.
When it was called bits.
I remember the dial up days.
Oh, gosh.
I remember leaving Napster on overnight so that you could hopefully have songs to come to in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, now that I'm old and we're communists, we're going to hit a song and we'll be back with more Nerd Radio. Stick around.
Hope you've cleared out your DVR. Time for Nerd Radio on RIP 2.
Spoilers.
Make it so.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on RIP 2 with Jefferson Moore, Al Beck, and Chuck Bean.
Which one of those guys am I? Not entirely sure right now.
You're at least one of them.
I'm at least one of them. At there least were three one options. Of them.
Right.
There were three
I
options.
I believe you are Al Beck. You're the one that's scared of DMX.
It's a, ah!
I just said his name. I didn't. He was not actually there.
Oh,
but! See, I told you. You're a little frightened.
See, you made me feel safe, and then I didn't expect him to sneak up behind me just now.
Yeah, well, it's
that second time.
Yeah, no, it's like we've established. He lives in the
He's
ceiling.
He's everywhere. Yeah.
The spirit of DMX is within in all of us. He's the spirit of the season.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm one of those people. So Alferson Bean.
Alferson Bean. There you go, for sure. You're like Voltron, man. Yeah. You're all three of them with the powers combined. It is your Wednesday night. I'm not gonna let the shoes in the dryer happen. You're not derailing me. God damn it!
Oh, and then even the phone rings.
You know, my phone going
this
off.
This is a mess, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's true.
Jeez, you gotta go back in your air duct, man. What do we do? Talk about comics or something?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, well, speaking of comics, we, as we mentioned last week, we're kind of in the middle of a huge thrall of comic book related media. We've got both the movies at the theater right now, Thor and Justice League, and the TV shows hitting all the streaming services, The Punisher and Runaways on Hulu. Have you gotten to partake in? We talked about Thor last week.
We did talk about Thor.
Have you checked out The Punisher?
I finally got around to watching Wonder Woman.
Okay,
which I felt I had to see before Justice League.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's. I'm German. I like order, and it's in the sequence.
Right.
So yes, I had to.
I thought that was going to go a way different way. I'm German. It's set in World War One. I was like, well, no.
To be honest, that movie didn't make me feel particularly like I need to go to the theater for Justice League.
Really?
Like, I didn't. Wonder Woman was all right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that great either. Like, I'm kind of glad I watched it on Blu-ray on a couch with my friends. And it's those same friends that I always go to the movies with. So,
right.
But I don't really feel like I need to get to the theater for Justice League because there has not been a single DC movie that has blown me away since the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of a bummer too.
See, and I'm like a good week and a half removed from seeing Justice League. And the more I think about it, the more I liked it.
You know,
which is kind of a weird phenomenon.
I heard a lot of great reviews about Wonder Woman too. And just, I don't know, like we were sitting there watching it and I don't know, it was something about her charging across no man's land where I actually said to my friends, I said, well, I was really liking this movie right up until now. This is ridiculous.
Huh? Really?
I don't know. Like it just,
well,
I loved Captain Kirk in it.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Pine.
Well, that was something I wanted to bring up is that, like I was saying, we've got so much on our plate right now, just in this year, much less in this very exact moment.
Gal Gadot was great. I mean, we saw her already in Superman versus Batman, but.
But I'm starting to look at stuff, like I said, about a week removed, I'm thinking of Justice League and I'm thinking, you know, I kind of really like that movie. I kind of like, I think I liked it more than I did when I, you know, walked out of the theater. Just like my memories of the movie seem cooler than when, you know, I walked out of the theater and it was fresh in my head. But it makes me wonder, now I'm going to look at a lot of these things and think to myself, remember when there was like two X-Men movies and a Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
And that was it? And like how hokey those look now.
Yeah.
But then when you had less of it, it was a bigger deal. It was... And now I think I'm going to try and look at all of this stuff with those kind of eyes. It's like, well, what if this existed in a vacuum where like there was only one or two other superhero genre live action adaptations?
Right. I don't know.
Because I think like anything entertainment wise, like the more of it there is, the less valuable it all becomes.
There was a certain aspect of Wonder Woman 2 that kind of bugged me. Like the way they presented the Germans in, you know, 1917 or whatever year. I mean, it was during the First World War. So it had to be somewhere between 14 and 18.
Yeah.
Like, they presented them like they were Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't.
Right.
Before the Nazis were a thing.
Yeah.
But they just kind of like was like, oh, Germans are evil, right? You know?
I remember I was kind of angry when we went and saw it, that the Germans that land on Paradise Island.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't looking for Paradise Island. They just came across it.
Right.
But they still... Even with the surprise of like, oh my God, it's an island and it's full of warrior women. Yeah. Like, they still put up amazing fight against them.
Right.
Like, the Amazons did not just rout them when they hit that beach. They still like downed a punch of Amazons.
Yeah, they did.
And I was like, well, that's dumb.
Yeah.
But I mean, the explanation for that is Amazons weren't ready for guns.
Yes.
So,
but rather than talking about an 8-year-old movie, you wanted to talk about new and current stuff. I know.
No, it's only last year.
I know, but you, have not watched Runaways.
Yeah.
I don't think I care.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm certainly not going to get to it now. It's not on my list of priorities, and I honestly might never get to it. And Punisher, I will eventually get to, but I haven't watched any of it yet.
I think you really enjoy the Punisher.
I'm sure I will. John Bernthal blew it away in Daredevil season 2.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Like, Amy and Mike Pandoff have seen a whole bunch of it, and they were talking about it. I've watched most of the first episode, and it's definitely the Punisher show I was hoping it would be.
Good.
So
yeah, no, I am looking forward to that. But like Runaways, like we've talked about before, there's so much stuff out there now.
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining about that. I mean, I'm really not. I don't have time to consume it all.
Exactly.
So now, whereas before it was like every comic book, TV show, or movie, you want to at least try it.
Yeah.
Now there's so much. It's just like reading comics, where I don't have time to read everything or the money to read everything.
Yep.
So you just kind of pick and choose what you want.
Yeah.
You know, I have not been watching this season of Walking Dead. I'm still reading the comic, and I am perfectly happy with that. I don't miss the show. You know, I do kind of miss, I can never remember the guy's name, but the guy who played Negan, for one thing, I love the character's great.
Yeah.
You know, very provocative character. And that actor, I've seen him in a number of things, and he's always good. I really like that guy.
Yeah.
So it's the only bummer is that this is a Negan season and I'm not watching it.
Right.
I heard
that
ratings were kind of struggling though.
That's what I heard too. But I mean, this is what, like season 7?
Something like that,
crazy of The Walking Dead. Like, gravy chain can't run forever.
Right. Right. So, so Runaways, I don't care. I just don't have time to care.
I'm a huge fan of the original series, and I feel like this is, much a little bit like Preacher. This is a great interpretation of that series. Like, there's some
not a direct frame by frame, shot for shot remake.
No, but the main gist of the series is there is that, like, you know, everybody thinks their parents evil when they're a teenager. What if your parents actually were? Each of the kids' parents are a different type of supervillain. Like, one of them's a time travelers, and the other ones are aliens, and the other ones are, I think, Inhumans because they can't say mutants. But it's also got kind of that, like, that CW teenage show angst going on as well. So if you're looking for that and a little bit of superhero stuff, it's definitely very cool. And if you're a fan of Brian K. Vaughan's, you know, he created the Runaways at Marvel like a decade ago. If you really loved his run on the Runaways, there's a lot to love there. And like I said, the Punisher, real cool too.
That's another thing. I've never read any of the Runaways, so I've no. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing drawing me to that show.
Well, that's the thing about The Punisher, too. I can tell already. One episode in, I can tell when I get to the end of this, I'm going to have to go through my back issues and pull out all that Garth Ennis run of Punisher and reread
Punisher Max.
Because now I feel I got the itch. I want to read some good Punisher comics.
I know. I've been reading that, the new one, where the Vietnam one, Platoon or whatever.
Yep.
And that's just making me go, man.
I couldn't go back and read those again.
So I'm having the same thing. It's, I haven't even watched the show yet. It's probably going to make me feel even more like that.
Yeah. And the other day, I don't have it with me, but the other day we were switching over during, like, you were coming in for the morning show and I was doing an overnight. You saw I had that the Iron Fist book.
Yes, yeah, the Matt Fraction, right?
Yeah, Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker co-wrote a 16-issue series of Iron Fist around the time of the first Civil War comics. Yeah. And also it was written,
Mark Millar one.
Yeah, it was drawn by David Aja, who went on to do Hawkeye with Matt Fraction. I want to go back and watch the show now, because I'm fairly certain I know where they went wrong now that I've read the book. Because the book, Danny Rand still isn't my favorite guy,
yeah,
but the book was real fun.
Yeah.
The book was, the first half of the book deals with the fact that Danny, as far as Danny knows, there's only been like 5 or 6 Iron Fists ever. Like, he's kind of unique and stuff like that. And then he meets a guy who's the Iron Fist in the 30s and finds out, no, there's been more like 30 or 40.
Oh, okay.
Like, every time an Iron Fist dies, another one is, you know, gets to be the Iron Fist. Kind of like the in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, every time a Slayer goes down, another one becomes the Slayer. Like, every time the Iron Fist goes down, somebody goes to the dragon and plunges their hand into his heart and becomes the new Iron Fist. Well, that's what happened to the guy in the 30s, is that he decided he didn't want to be the Iron Fist anymore. He's just been hiding out in opium dens for the last 50 years or so.
So first he went to the dragon, then he chased the dragon.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. But you get to see these flashbacks of all these different Iron Fists from different points in history. And you find out that his name is, I think, Wendell Orson or something like that, or something Orson. He is... father was a theoretical physicist and made all this different stuff. So Danny Rand's fortune that he got from his dad actually got from this guy. His dad was like this guy's apprentice.
Oh.
And that's kind of fun. But the first half of the book is dealing with the fact that there's been tons of Iron Fists and Danny didn't know about it. And the second half of the book deals with this tournament, this Kung Fu tournament, that the city of Kunlun is actually one of 7 cities that have this tournament every 25 years or so.
Okay.
And whoever wins the tournament, well, their city gets to be the one that every 10 years shows up in the world of man.
Round 1, fight!
Exactly! And there's like all these, every city has its own weapon, like the Iron Fist. Like there's this dude called Fat Cobra that's just this huge sumo wrestler.
Fat Cobra!
Yeah! It's hilarious. There's a...
That would be my kung fu name.
There's a dude called like the Prince of Orphans, and he just has a whole, like a pack of wolves and small children that follow him around, and he does all this crazy kung fu. It's...
My kung fu name would be Fatter and Slower Panda.
But I feel like that's where the show went wrong, is that whenever the story starts to bog down in those comics, you flip the page and we're on to round 2 of the tournament. Even if Danny's not fighting in that round, like you have to see who wins that round to go on to fight eventually Danny.
Finish him!
And it's I think that's where the show got it wrong, is that we didn't have enough like super kung fu, cheesy kung fu moments.
Okay.
But that's why I want to go back and watch the rest of it, because I only got like 3 or 4 episodes in and got bored. So I want to.
Oh, that's right. You didn't even finish it.
Yeah, I didn't even finish it. I was just like, I don't care. Danny sucks. And, you know, true to form, he's not great in the comics either. Everybody kind of treats him like, you're this generation's Iron Fist. You don't even know this kind of stuff.
What an a-hole.
Right. But it was a fun read. I can see where the skeleton of what Matt Fraction and David Aja would do with Hawkeye is in the Iron Fist book.
Okay.
It was a fun read. I would definitely recommend it. It was fun, especially if you're a Hawkeye fan. It's not, I still like Clint Barton a lot better. It was a fun read. I did bring in one thing that came out this week. I don't know if you picked it up.
I did. I haven't read it yet, obviously. Yeah, I am getting caught up. I had did a lot of reading over the weekend, so I'm still behind.
Yeah.
But not as severely as I was.
This is the only thing with the holidays and everything. This is the only thing I actually got a chance to read.
Okay.
But it's the new DC event, even though Dark Knight's Metal hasn't ended yet. This is going to be going for a year. It's a 12-issue monthly series called Doomsday Clock. And now we're finally going to find out why the Watchmen are crossing over with the main DC universe.
Yeah. Do you feel like you needed to have read The Button?
Not yet. But it's only issue 1. Okay. I feel like it's going to move kind of slow. It is Geoff Johns, who we both love, and Gary Frank, who does some amazing art as well. But because it's a 12-issue series, much like the original Watchmen was, and it's monthly, I tend to think that it's going to be slow going, and then there's going to be issues where a lot of stuff happens, and then there'll be issues where not a whole lot happens leading up to a, oh my God, did you see blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, did you see Rorschach and Batman fight kind of thing? And none of that happens in this issue.
Okay. Well, this I was just curious because I mean, I read The Button, but, you know, if someone listening is, you know, maybe knows.
Right. Have you seen the hardcover for it?
No.
Yeah. There's a hardcover that you know, has the two Flash issues and the two Batman issues together, and it also has a lenticular cover. There's two different versions of it, lenticular covers.
No,
one of them has
the
button cover that's where Batman's holding one side of the button, and then you flip it and Flash is holding the other one.
I do like these covers.
DC's getting them right, man, because Marvel's doing some of them, and they look like trash. The lenticular covers where, like, it's a classic cover, and then it turns into a new cover, and you can't get one picture on any of them. But these are, like, even with the DC ones, you get even a 3D effect to them, which is pretty cool.
So, like, the Doomsday Clock, this cover, has got Rorschach, and then when you turn it, his face turns to the Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman symbols.
Yeah, because he's got that mask that's supposed to move.
On the on the back, they have a yellow clock, like the Watchmen, and, of course, they've got the Superman symbol at the 12 o'clock position, but as you turn it, the clock ticks.
Yeah.
Which I think is super cool.
Yeah, I don't know that they'll be doing that for every issue, but I had to have that one.
I never,
it just looks really cool.
I never get those, which is fine. I'm not, I love my comic store. I don't,
sure.
It doesn't bother me, but I never even know that they exist until I come in here and you're like, I brought this in for the show. I'm like, oh, I didn't get that cover.
Oh, you get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with the with those covers is you see, when you see it at the store, you're like, well, I'm going to get that one. I asked I asked the guy who runs the store that I go to. I was like, "So with the DC lenticular covers, how's that work?" And he's like, "Oh, they just let you order how many you want. It's not like, you know, with the Marvel stuff we talked about last month and the month before, where it's like you got to order X amount of this to get X amount of this." And I'm like, "Well, then why wouldn't you order double on those? Because everyone's gonna be like we are, be like, oh, that exists. Well, I want that one."
Well, you gotta be careful to tread that line thinly though, because if you get too many of them, people don't care anymore.
Yeah, and then you're stuck with a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
that's true. But yeah, I like it. It's like I said, it's slow going. This particular issue deals more with what happens in Watchmen after the series is over, you know, or the movie or whatever you like. Like, you know, after the big fallout, the big Asmodeus's big plan happens. Like,
okay,
what happens to that universe after that?
Oh,
exactly. Immediately after that, so it's kind of fun to see where they're taking it.
I will be looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure. Comic shop locator. What we always say, hit it up, find a comic book store near you.
Yes.
You're looking at, you're like looking around, you're looking at the story like, what does Chuck expect me to say right now?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I don't, you, that's usually the signal of the wrap-up,
right?
And I either sit back, let you hit, you know, the social media and the comic shop locator,
right,
and all that good stuff, and then just wrap up the show.
Yeah.
Or I'm an a-hole and I interrupt you, and I was kind of in that moment making up my mind
whether you wanted to be,
whether I was going to just be quiet or be obnoxious.
Right.
And I thought really explaining my thought process was the most obnoxious thing I could possibly do.
Yeah.
This really long, drawn out means nothing. I am wasting your time.
DMX,
as I speak.
DMX looks like he's very involved.
He hasn't said anything. Okay.
Talk to you next week, Al.
See you. Maybe.
This is Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Yeah, magic cards, they're pieces of cardboard. And you play them on the ground, and people play cards against you, and first one to go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio, and we out.
That's all we got.
It is Nerd Radio on Rift 2 with Chuck Bean and good brother Kyle. I always call you my good brother Kyle. Do you want us to put, like, what do you want us to call you here on the show?
I mean, if you want, you can call me Kyle, but the people at YumaCon that I work with, they all call me GK.
GK?
So
I can call you GK.
So GK is fine.
What does it stand for?
Ginger Kyle.
Ginger Kyle. Ginger Kyle on the show, Nerd Radio. That's it. You're going to have to change all your
social media stuff
to
GK.
All your brand labeling now, like your streaming that you do, you're gonna have to change.
Yeah, I
know.
I was thinking of it. I'm like, if I go by this, then I'm gonna have to change everything over from Acolyte to GK.
All your login, your Xbox Live, and all this stuff is gonna have to be GK now. That's a good nickname, man.
I know. So I don't mind it, especially because we're in radio, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like it, man. Well, like I said, Chuck Bean and Kyle hanging out with you for Nerd Radio on Rift 2, and we are still buzzing from BlizzCon.
Oh, yes.
Which happened in the same
week
we mentioned when we talked about YumaCon previously. Happened in the same weekend as YumaCon. And so, you know, while you're there nerding out, you always check your social media and see, like, holy crap, this is going on in World of Warcraft. Or holy crap, this is going on in Overwatch. And I know that me and you both being Overwatch buddies, I didn't mention it when we talked about YumaCon, but I played Overwatch on one of the PS4s there while I was just killing some time. I just played a game of Overwatch. And notice two things. First of all, that it was way prettier than it is on my PC, which tells me that I need to upgrade my PC. And secondly, I think I talked to you about this at YumaCon. I took D.Va, and she has like a new ability that I had not seen.
Oh, yeah.
All the time that yeah, I've been playing right. on the PC. She like fires rockets.
Yeah. So, you know, what's funny is that, I've talked about, I hate to throw Paladins into a Blizzard conversation, but
sure,
because their character in Paladins, Ruckus, is pretty much their version of D.Va.
Yeah.
Even though they're not trying to like copy off anything, it just so happens they're two little people in a mech.
Yep.
They both kind of share the same ability in terms of these rockets. So D.Va now has an ability, and I, pardon me, I have no really, I don't play D.Va at all. I don't care. I'm not a D.Va fan. But she has a new ability where she fires a little barrage of rockets.
Right.
Which is really good because she's supposed to be a tank, so she's supposed to take hits and deal lots of damage.
Right.
And that it's been, I think it's nice. Just like I've seen I've had D.Va on my team and I've gone against plenty of D.Vas, and it's nice to have
different
ability.
That's the thing. Even on the PC, like I've, And I know part of why I didn't notice that this ability exists is because the Halloween event happened. So I just, you know, played the Halloween event for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But also, I know that I've played against a couple D.Vas in the last month or so and not been hit with it. So I'm like, how did this slip by me? Is this specific to the consoles? And you're like, no, it's been there the whole time.
Yep. Yeah, the changes they make on the PC also affect the consoles. Maybe just... it's supposed to all go live all at once on all three systems and platforms. So, right. But it's exciting. You know, just play a little more D.Va.
I guess it cracks me up. I saw a video online a couple of weeks ago that was like, remember when Overwatch was weird? And they were pointing out like all these things. Like, remember when Reaper used to get the souls instead of just like getting health back when he would shoot people with the shotgun? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a change. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that had changed. So it's always funny how much they can just tweak something and you won't really notice it, even if you play a guy very frequently, until all of a sudden you're like, hey, when did this happen?
Oh, yeah. Like if you play Junk right now, you'll realize that you won't kill yourself with your own explosions anymore. He's immune to them.
See,
but it's important
for
that character because
absolutely.
You can hurt yourself a lot.
Right. Well, yeah, and much like you know, in Team Fortress 2, which, you know, Overwatch is very much the new version of Team Fortress 2, the big thing with the explosive character in that game was being able to rocket jump, to be able to like jump and then put an explosion underneath you, which would vault you up into places you weren't supposed to be able to get to.
Yep.
And that's what a lot of Junkrat players will do with their explosives. So that's pretty cool. But as you know, as we started with BlizzCon happening, and that means that a whole bunch of for all of Blizzard's games, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, everything except I think Diablo. I don't think Diablo got any real news. But the big news for like StarCraft is that for StarCraft 2 is that it's going free to play.
Oh yeah, so what does that mean? So free to play, you just download it and you can play it?
Yeah, like you can play. I think it's going to be a little bit like World of Warcraft, where like you can play the first 20 levels of any character in World of Warcraft. And then, and then you got to pay to continue playing. And I think that's what they're doing with StarCraft 2 as well, that you can download it and you can play a couple of levels specifically. And then if you like what you see, it's almost like a demo, which
nice.
Is kind of, yeah,
down
which
for
is,
that.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
Looking for an RTS game to kind of get into.
Yeah. You know, and, when I play Heroes of the Storm, I play almost exclusively, Heroes from StarCraft. I just like the way they're designed. I like the way they play. So I'd be interested in seeing what the original, you know, versions of these characters are.
For sure.
And StarCraft.
And I like that. Like, I don't play much of Heroes of the Storm, but there's some pretty cool news that came out of BlizzCon.
I am not happy that Hanzo's coming to Heroes of the Storm. I hate him in Overwatch. Now I get to hate him in Heroes of the Storm.
Now everybody can be another Hanzo main in a different game. But I'm actually kind of excited because I love that they brought Genji back. And I used some of my credits last time I actually logged into Heroes of the Storm to by Genji, and I'm like, okay, this is fine, you know, because I like the Overwatch heroes.
Yeah.
A lot of other people are like, and we don't really like the Overwatch heroes in the games, but that's okay.
I don't like the way they're designed in Heroes of the Storm, but I love Overwatch and their characters so much that I'm always excited to see one end up in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, and so I'm excited. I'll probably, maybe later on today, I'll download all the updates and hop on there and try and play, but I'm really excited about, I've never heard of this character. The only Blizzard game I'm really super familiar with is Overwatch, obviously. But Alexstrasza, I don't know who this chick is, but I watched the announcement video, and she's like a dragon priestess or something.
Yeah, she's from World of Warcraft. Right. She's specifically from the Lich King expansion, if I remember correctly.
Okay, she turns into a dragon, and she looks badass, and I'm like, okay, I think I have to go play Heroes of the Storm so I can buy this chick and all the other characters I want just for a little bit of money, and just so that when I do want to play, I can play with people.
You were looking and you were like, I want to be a dragon.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I want to be a dragon and a sorcerer.
Right. But yeah, and then obviously the game that we're both super interested in, Overwatch, had some of the biggest news in that. Much like, you know, this time last year, we were talking about the hacker.
Yeah, Sombra.
They announced Sombra. This year it was a new healer.
A new support, finally.
Yeah.
Which, I'm a support main. We're talking about Moira, and she is a half DPS, half healer cross hybrid for the game. And she's just got a whole suite of abilities that she's the first life sapper character in Overwatch.
Right.
And so she'll just target you with her purple beam and steal the enemy's life and heal herself and do damage.
Right.
And of course, she's got her alternate fire, which is a healing ray.
She reminds
me, kind of like Mei. If you've ever played Mei, she sprays.
Yeah.
She sprays this yellow heal mist.
Right. I was going to say, like, everything about her, like you're saying, like, that reminds you of Mei. She reminds me of Zenyatta somewhat in that she's got, like, you know, a little bit of DPS and a little bit of heals. So she, with the beam, she reminds me of, I can't think of her name.
Symmetra. Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of a lot of like five or six characters in this character, but adding all these elements in has come up with a completely unique playstyle. And I can't wait to try her out because I love playing support.
And she's Irish. She's a part of, she's an ex-member of Overwatch, Blackwatch, and a head scientist for Talon, which is super sweet. So I like that they're, I want Blizzard to like print t-shirts and hats and designs of like Talon stuff. Cause I want to know a little bit more about Talon. You know, we got some of the villains.
I love that with the way Overwatch works, that you can get really deeply into the story of each of the characters and how they relate to each other and everything.
Yeah.
Or you can just play it and just go like, that guy looks cool.
Yeah, I exactly.
like this guy. He looks cool.
But, I'm super excited for the new character. Moira is going to be sweet. So, but it's exciting. She's got a lot of sweet new abilities, and she's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for a lot of the players that want to play her. And of course, they introduced a new map.
Yeah.
For the game Blizzard World, which is super cool. And they also there's a couple little changes coming to Mercy and all that. So final balancing tweaks before Overwatch League sets in. And of course, they introduced a new short.
Yeah, for Reinhardt.
And it's,
which is real cool.
It was really cool and a little bit of a tearjerker.
A bit. You know, I love the shorts that they release for these. And whenever they release a new one, people are always like, when are they just going to have a TV show? Or when are they just going to have a movie or something like that? I don't know that I would enjoy it as much. I really enjoy like getting a short every 3 or 4 months, a little like 5 minute video about a specific character.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of fun.
I think what they should do is, instead of making them like 6 minutes, 5 minutes, or 8 minutes, or 7 minutes, they should just like, okay, I think the longest one is actually Mei's.
Yeah,
I believe, and the Winston one. Because those, when the Winston one was, I think, the first one to come out, actually.
Right.
And just make them all 10 minutes long and just do like a mini little, maybe not an episode, but of these shorts.
Yeah.
And if they really wanted to go that route, keep it the same, but keep, like, webisodes.
Yeah.
Just make it, like, small exactly. content over time.
Or like you, like, I can't think of which cartoon. Oh, it's Steven Universe. Like, some of the Cartoon Network shows where it's, like, whenever you watch a half-hour episode, you're getting essentially, like, 2 11-minute, you know, parts
yep.
with a commercial break. And that would, format-wise, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so.
But, speaking of Overwatch, there's definitely something I wanted to talk to you about. I actually want to talk to Jefferson about this too, but he's in playing Overwatch, so you know it's a general gaming question that I have, and that it stems from playing the Halloween event mm-hmm. For Overwatch, which was really fun. I really enjoy a player versus environment kind of event. I will never forgive Blizzard for turning me into a filthy Hanzo main for Halloween because you could only choose, you know, if you played the Endless, you could choose amongst 8 characters, which was kind of fun. But if you played the main one, you had to be either Hanzo, Soldier 76, McCree, or what's her name?
I think Anna.
Anna, yeah. And I'm no good with Anna. I'm really not great with McCree. I'm okay with Soldier 76, but let me tell you, I was picking stuff off from across the map with Hanzo.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it, I hate Hanzo.
It was fine. I think that I gained some just from playing Hanzo and McCree the couple of times that I did.
Yeah.
I learned how to use the characters a little bit more. How to use the hitboxes.
Yeah, same here.
But ultimately, those are two characters that I'm just not, if I want to play damage or sniper, I'm going to go with Widowmaker for the sniper.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with any other DPS character, mainly Sombra.
Yeah.
For those slots, but I mostly picked Soldier, McCree, or Ana. I don't really like Hanzo. I don't like his kit. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But not for me.
Right. For me, it was just a matter of trying to figure out, like, who am I best at here? And just on a whim, because people wouldn't pick Hanzo. People, whenever you would, you know, log in and get your 4 players, immediately people would grab Soldier 76 yep. and McCree. So your choices were usually either Ana or Hanzo. But what I wanted to get to is, so you would log into a game, and there would be a 4 thing. You would get your 4 players, and then an average game of this would take about 10 minutes, which was kind of cool
yeah.
to get through every wave of enemies. The part that sucked the most about the Halloween event is you would get into a game, you would get about 2 minutes in, and somebody would drop out. And if the computer would put somebody else in their place at some point, that would be fine. But the fact that it's specifically made for 4 players to get through, to get to those, the end of that 10 minutes, the minute somebody drops out, suddenly you're stuck with, like, especially if it's somebody like Anna, like now
you don't have a healer and you're gonna die.
Now you have absolutely no heals. You know, if Soldier 76 drops out, you know, okay.
You don't have burst healing.
Right.
It was, and damage.
And it was infuriating, especially like after the first week that both Blizzard didn't do anything to fix it, and B, people were still doing it.
Yeah, surprisingly, I didn't have any issues with that. The only time I've ever had any issues with that has been in quick play, just playing a normal game of Overwatch, or in ranked. In ranked, so many people just
pull out because they want to keep their rank.
They're like, they want to keep their rank, but now it's got the degradation over time, and then you get penalized heavily for leaving games.
Oh, you do. I've left games while we were voting for who was best, just because I wanted to get to the next game, and gotten that little box that shows up that's going, you need to quitting games early because you're gonna get an experience, you know, negative if you keep doing it. I'm like, dude, the game was over. What the heff?
Yeah, but you gotta, like, I guess that's the way the game works, is that, like, once you're done with all of that and you return to the actual menu is when you're done with the game.
Yeah.
But I normally don't have an issue with it.
But it made me think of, you know, we've all seen videos online of people, you know, finding ways to break a game and troll other players or something like that.
For sure.
And as funny as it can be to watch it happen to somebody else, oh man, does it suck? Does it, like, ruin the game for you when somebody, you know, like, specifically goes against the way the game is played?
I mean, it can. I try not to let any toxicity bother me at all.
Yeah.
That's because generally, I'm usually the guy, everybody else wants to play all the cool characters. If you want to play Hanzo, fine, play Hanzo. Really, on attack or at certain characters are good at certain things.
Yes.
Yes, you can play them all in any way, but, you know, I'm a flex player, so I'm like, okay, so he's a soldier, he's a Pharah, he wants to be D.Va, we got a Roadhog, they want to be Hanzo because they're filth, and we need a healer, and I'll just say, like, hey, we need a healer. I'm not good at them.
Right.
Just kind of bluffing because I'm good with the healers. But and ultimately, people are like, you be the healer. I'm like, well, that's fine. So normally I just pick the healers from the get-go.
I do the same thing. And it's not just in Overwatch. Just about any game, any team-based game. Like, I'll take the role that the other people don't want to take because I know that I'm not going to be the best at anything.
Yeah.
So I'll just try and be acceptable at everything so that I can fill the role.
Okay, the way Overwatch is built for you to just have fun and to play whoever you want,
right?
And if you look at the pros are built to have, like, you got two DPS players, you got the support and the tank, and they usually, almost every Overwatch League team will have a player that's kind of that flex,
yeah,
where they have the one specialty but they can swap in and out, and you will see people constantly. Like, my buddy Mangachu for the, he played for Team Canada and he plays with the Detroit Renegades, pro Overwatch team. He's DPS, but he also plays a little bit of tank.
Huh.
You know, because tanks also can do lots of damage.
Oh, so totally.
But for me, I normally, yes, that can make or break games for me. I don't always want to play support. You know, I want to play other heroes. Like, for the longest time I was just playing just Zenyatta and Lucio and Mercy, and then I'm like, I got away from Mercy because it's just like, I want to play the other characters. Like, I absolutely love playing Orisa.
I love playing the arcade mode that's like random heroes, mm-hmm. because you never know which one you're going to get. It could be somebody you are awful with, but it could be somebody that you're great with.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is I played when they had the No Limits game mode.
Yeah.
Me and my friends, what we do is everybody on the team takes a turn picking what character we're all going to be.
Yeah, everybody's the same guy.
And
but
so,
like,
I picked Mei one time and found that I love playing Mei.
Yeah.
So
especially when there's five other Meis.
Yeah. So now, like, when I'm usually really good with Junkrat, and I still am, but I'm like, okay, you know, the cool thing about Overwatch is that you have so much flexibility
to
be whoever you want.
Yeah. Like I said previously, it's the new Team Fortress 2. It's just there's even more dynamic to it, which is really kind of cool. But I guess my question is, do you have a very clear memory of any particular game you've played that, like, that where, like, somebody, whether they were on your team or on the opposing team, was just like playing wrong?
And it was, yeah, there's been plenty of games where we have, I'm trying to think of who the person was playing as, and I think it was Genji.
Yeah.
And they were just, they would go far, far ahead, and I would play Zen, and we also had, I think, a Mercy, too.
Right.
This is before a lot of her, you know, buffs, and it was two people. It was both the Mercy and the Genji, and the Mercy would fly off and heal the Genji. I'm like, no. You have to stay in the back line, harass with your blaster, and when we need the buffs or the heals,
right? There's three.
That's
more,
your job.
There's three more players on this team that need your help.
Yes, and you can't always keep running off of the Genji. And it was, I think, a ranked mode, and we ended up, I got demoted for one after my hard work of playing like 20 games in a row, and really getting to I was almost at gold. Almost out of silver and into the lower end gold, and they fucked up the game because, I'm like, I'm not trying to be an a-hole, but please play the characters correctly if you pick them.
Right.
Like, or at least work on your skills with them in quick play. Don't come into ranked and just fart around.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, cause like, I wanna eventually be a grandmaster. I don't think I ever will, but, you know, I wanna have fun. no matter what mode I'm playing.
Well, it's like we
please
talked
to play your character you selected correctly.
It's like we talked about previously when you play Magic, like if there's a, you know, a cash pot on the line, or you paid money to play a specific, you know, tournament or something like that, then yeah, let's play seriously. Like,
yeah.
But you know, if we're just screwing around, then yeah, you can play. Yeah, you can
play
do that.
You want.
Go ahead, whatever. Nothing's really on the line.
And now I find myself more along in. So I used to just play nothing but the supports and defense heroes.
Yeah.
Now I'm more into playing DPS when I have to, and playing just Orisa and the healers, because I love Orisa. I love her kit, and
sure.
I've found wonderful dynamics with trying to figure out her as a successful character in the game, because she's had some trouble ever since release. Same with Sombra. Sombra has been wonderful to play. So you just gotta play the game, play the characters, learn all their tips and tricks,
right?
And what they're good at, what they're not. On maps where you've got a lot of pathways, Sombra is a near perfect pick, because you can lock them down out of their abilities, you can hack them and just harass from behind them,
right,
and confuse them, and it's great. So you know, it depends on your play style, but yes, there's been plenty of games where I'm like, why? A couple weeks ago, before Yomacon, actually, you wanted a good example.
Yes.
We were attacking, and it was push the payload.
Oh, that's...
What's a sniper's job? Snipe people, right?
Yeah.
Why do I have a Hanzo and a Widowmaker and a Torbjorn trying to push the payload?
Yeah,
I know the Torbjorn is fine.
No, that's fine, because you can stick the turret on the payload and that's all right.
But the Hanzo and the Widowmaker.
Yeah,
but the Widowmaker has an assault rifle. Yeah, that's very inaccurate.
Well, see, it always makes me angry when I'm typically the healer, but it always makes me angry when I'm the one pushing the payload. You know, like I look at it from their point of view too. It's like, where are the tanks? Where are the assault guys? Why aren't they sitting on the payload?
Yeah, it's normally the tank support and defense heroes jobs to babysit the payload and to push it. And that game, like, we still won that game. I don't know how we won that game, but I was playing as Orisa. And, like, but I'm like, can we please have, like, a soldier or a Pharah? Like,
yeah!
Let's have, like, kind of a mixed bag of abilities here. That way we can kind of fend off whatever we need to.
That's
and
the
funny part is, and I'll do it too, is I'll play Symmetra on push the payload as an attacker, and people get mad. I'm like, y'all do it too, so I'm just gonna be
yep.
I'm gonna be that guy. But you know what's funny is that in ranked and quick play, Symmetra has one of the highest win rates in the game at 65-75%, which is hilarious, because she is the least picked character in the game.
Yeah.
So, but Symmetra's also got a really strong kit. And is adaptable to situations. So, but I just don't like, I don't find it necessary to always have a Hanzo. Yes, I know people think he's cool with his bow, but it's unreliable and inaccurate.
He's a strong sniping character.
He is, but like his kit is better for, like, you can use, I mean, I guess I don't mind people playing any character. Just know how to play them moderately well if you're in ranked, and also
that's why I don't play ranked.
I know. I normally don't too anyways, but I like to get like the icons and stuff,
right?
But
all right, man, well, where can people play Overwatch with you?
So if you want to play Overwatch with me, I am on Xbox One. Sorry, I'm not PC Master Race with Overwatch yet, and eventually, I think I will pick it up. I think my PC can run it, but hit me up on Xbox at AKILYTE. That's Acolyte. Or hit me up on my Facebook at Kyle Rocks Riff.
Right. And do you still do the streaming?
I will do more. I do some streaming. I haven't recently just because I've been so busy, but
right.
Once I start to figure out more what I want to do,
cool.
I'll start streaming on Mixer off the Xbox instead.
You guys can find me on battle.net. I'm the PC Master Race at Chizuck, C-H-Z-U-C-K. And you can see how bad I am at Overwatch, I guess. All right, thanks for coming in, Kyle.
No problem. It's always a pleasure.
That's this week's Nerd Radio. We'll be back next week.
Heroes never die.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
One of those days where I slept like an idiot and my neck and shoulders hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. Who's beating me up? Oh, sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Who was beating me up? Sleep.
Sleep was
the sweet rejuvenating sleep kicked my ass last night.
Exactly.
You've been listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast. Each week, the podcast can be found on our website, wrif.com, and on iTunes at Nerd Radio on Rift 2. The show airs live Wednesday nights on your HD radio at 101.1 FM HD Radio 2 and features live music not heard during the podcast. Contact us at Rift2Nerds on Facebook and Twitter and email the show at Rift2Nerds@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Nerd Radio on Rift 2 podcast.